Kobiet też baw się. Okay, we're on the fifth test, Ahmed Aleph. We quoted a braisa yesterday, which we're going to review now because the Gemara in Medayik, various halachas, in fact, three halachas from the braisa we mentioned. So let's briefly review the braisa. Have a look at the Gemara, Tana Rabbanon, just after the two dots. Keshehu Menachem, first word on the line is Venoga. Venoga. So it's about 15 lines from the top, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanon. We saw this yesterday. Keshehu oiver b'shura. When the Kohen Gadol passes through the shura, lenachem es acherim, to comfort others, which immediately raises the alarm bell and the question mark, and we discussed this yesterday. If you're being menachem others, why are you passing through the shura? Isn't it the aveilim? They're the ones who pass through the shura. So we said, we'll see, Mr. Hashem, there's been a change in that custom. But either way, it seems to be that it's definitely used to be the custom that the Avelim used to stand still, and the ones who are comforting, the Menachemim, they're the ones who pass through the Shura. So, Tan Rabbanon, Keshehu Oiver B'Shura L'Nachem Es Acherim, when the Kohen Gadol passes through the Shura to comfort others, so then he's surrounded on either side, the Sgan U'Moshuach Sha'ovar B'Yeminoi. You'll have the deputy Kohen Gadol and also the Meshuach She'ova. We explained yesterday that Meshuach She'ova means the Kohen Gadol who briefly was standing in place of the Kohen Gadol because the original Kohen Gadol became posel. Then the interim Kohen Gadol became demoted because the original Kohen Gadol now was reinstalled. But he's still very much a prominent figure, and therefore the Sgan, who is the Sgan? The Sgan is the deputy Kohen Gadol. Meshuach She'ova is the Kohen Gadol of the past. B'yaminoi. They will be standing on the right-hand side of the Kohen Gadol. V'roish Beis Av. Maybe that's the Rosh Beis Din. V'avelim. V'chol ha'om nismoiloi. And therefore, he will be surrounded on all sides. And that is obviously a sign of kovod for the Kohen Gadol. That's case number one. Case number two, Ukashahu Oimed, not when he's passing through the Shura, but rather when he is standing in the Shura, being comforted. And again, this is not our custom. Our custom is the one who's being comforted walks through the Shura. So Ukashahu Oimed Bashura Umisnache Meacherim, as being comforted by others, then Skan Miyaminoi. So it's exactly the same setup as the first time round, with one obvious difference, and that is the Meshuach She'ovar does not feature. Says the Gemara, why not? Avo Meshuach She'ovar loy osi gabe. But the Meshuach She'ovar does not come to comfort him, my time, mechol shadaita, because the Kohen Gadol will not see that as a comfort. To the contrary, he'll get a bit put out. Sova, he'll think, Kochodibi, maybe he's just rejoicing me. Remember, the demoted Kohen Gadol might be a little bit tense with the current Kohen Gadol because it was all as a result of him that he got demoted. So therefore, when the Kohen Gadol sees him coming along to comfort him, he won't be so excited. Fine, that's what we saw yesterday. Now, Omer of Papa, now we begin the new Gemara. Omer of Papa. Shma mino. Meho masnisa tlas. We can hear from this above braisa three chidushim. Besides for everything that's absolutely stated explicitly, but inherently there are also three further additional chidushim which we can extrapolate, which are all evident in this braisa. This is what Rav Papa's pointing out. Number one, if you look briefly, back in the Mishnah, in the beginning of the Perek, you'll see that the Mishnah says almost the identical halacha, but with one change of phraseology. If you look in the Mishnah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, it says the first word on the line that we're looking at is the word Yotza. It's about 10 lines into the Mishnah. It says, Ukashu Menachem Achirim, when he comforts others. So it says, Derech Kolaom, Oivrim Bezeach Hazeh, Vahamamuna Mamatzoi Beinoi Lebein Ha'om. The Mamuna will flank him on one side, and you have the the masses on the other side. So the Mishnah used a different word to the Braisa. The Mishnah used the word Mamuna, which literally translated means the appointed one. But if you look there, look at Rashi there on the Mishnah. Rashi says there, Vahamamuna, Sgan HaKoyanim. So Rashi clearly learns, and we'll see, it's Mefurash Gemara, that the word Mamuna, that Mamuna is not a different person to the Sgan. That is the Sgan. It's the same thing. It's just two different words saying the same thing. Where did Rashi get that from? The answer is, now look back at our Gemara, we get it from our Gemara. Because in the Braisa we just quoted, it doesn't say Mamuna, it says Sgan. But if in our Mishnah it says Mamuna, well, one and one is two. It must be that the Sgan and the Mamuna is in fact the same person. Says the Gemara. Therefore, number one, Shma Mino, Hainu Sgan, Hainu Mamuna. The Sgan equals the Mamuna. Sometimes we call him the Sgan, sometimes we call him the Mamuna, but the deputy Kohen Gadol might have two different titles. Have a look at Rashi. Further up, about in the 10th narrow line, Shma Mino. Midiktoni. Since it states in the Braisa, Sgan Mikan. The Sgan is on one side. The Ha'om Mikan, and the masses on the other side, the Koyin Be'emtza, and the Koyin is in the middle. That's what it says in the Braisa. So what do I understand from there? I conclude from there that Hainu Skan, Hainu Mamuna. For the Skan is the Mamuna. Why? The Masnisin Dektoni. Because the Mishnah wound off earlier that stated, Hamamuna, underline. Mamatsoi would make him central, lekoyen v'noisnoi beinoi lebein ha'om, would make sure that the Kohen Gadol is the one in between the Mamuna and the rest of the people. So in the Mishnah, he's referred to as the Mamuna, but in our Mishnah, he's referred to as the Sgan. So clearly that's the same person. So that's Rav Popper's first observation, which is very important. That means elsewhere in Shas, if you ever bump into the word Mamuna or Sgan, you should know it's all the same thing. That's Rav Popper's first observation. Says the Gemara, now number two. Remember, he said he's going to point out three chidushim that he learned from his braisa. Says the Gemara later, now, v'shma mino. And I also hear something else. Aveilim oimdin. Remember, we pointed this out yesterday. It apparently seems to be the case that it's the Aveilim who are standing, and it's Kol Ha'om, and it's all the people who are the ones passing through. Why is this important to point out? Because as we well know, and the Gemara is going to point this out in a moment, that's not our custom. Our custom is the exact opposite, that the Aveilim are the ones who pass through, and the Kol Ha'om and the masses, they stand still in the Shura. But in this Braisa, it was clearly evident not that way. Why? Because we spoke about Keshehu Oiver Lenachim, when he passes through to be Menachim. And then we said, when he stands to be Misnachim. So you see that when you are being comforted, you stand still. And when you are comforting others, you pass through. Look at Rashi. Now, in my Gemara, the Rashis are printed not in the right order. Meaning the Rashi that we're about to, L'chorei about to read is Aveilim L'smoil HaMenachemim, but that actually is out of order. So go to the next Rashi, V'shma Mino. and then we'll come back to the Rashi we missed out. V'shma mino kein minig tanchumin. It would seem to be that this is the minig of tanchumim b'shura. That what? Sheyu aveilim oimdim b'mkoimon. Apparently the aveilim, they were the ones who would stand in their place and not move at all. V'kol ha'om oivrim. And all of the people would pass through ish-ish, one by one. Kushim agia eitzel ha'ovel. And when they now reach the ovel and they file past, Menachamoy, they would then comfort him. Va'oiver, and then pass on. That's Rav Popper's second observation. Where did he see it? Midaktani, because it says, Keshehu oiver, underline. Keshehu oiver lenachim. You see that the Braisa said that when he passes through to comfort. According to nowadays custom, that doesn't make any sense. When you comfort others, you don't pass through. To the contrary, you're standing in the shura. And says Rashi, the other way around as well, v'gabei misnachem, and v'gabei the second halacha, when he is being comforted, what does it say there in the Braisa? K'toni, k'shehu oimed, underline the word oimed. K'shehu oimed b'shura lehin misnachem, when he stands in the row to be comforted. So this is Rav Popper's second observation. But apparently, at that particular time in history, the custom was that the Avelim, who are being comforted, they stay standing still. And it's the Menachamim, the ones who are comforting, they file past and then move on. And of course, this is important to point out, as the Gemara is going to discuss in a moment, because we do the opposite. Now, says the Gemara, back into the Gemara, the third and final observation. V'shma mino, says Rav Popper, I also hear something else as well. Avelim lismoil hamenachamim hem oimdim. Apparently the Avelim are on the left-hand side of the Menachamim. So the Menachamim, those giving comfort, those offering comforting words, as we said before, will file past. But what does that mean they will file past? The Avelim will be on their left or on their right? So I learned from this Braisa that apparently the Avelim will be on the left, on the left-hand side. So the comforters file past with the Avelim on the left. Now, where is that apparent? So look at Rashi, the one that we missed out. Avelim l'smoil amanachamim. How do I know? Midaktoni. Because it states, quote unquote, va'ovel v'kol ha'om mismoiloi, quote unquote. It says that the ovel and all the arm will be on the left. V'harehu hayom min amanachamim. We're talking about where the Kohen Gadol is the one being menachem. He is comforting others. And what does it say that where the avelim standing? V'ketonim avelim. And it says quite clearly that the Avelim stand to his left. So therefore, says Rav Popper, I'm able to conclude three important chidushim. Number one, that Sgan and Mamuna is all the same thing. Number two, that the minig was that whoever's comforting walks through and the Avelim stay where they are. Number three, that when you walk past the Avelim should be on your left. Now have a look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Borishoino. Now we're going to discuss the change in Minhag. Borishoino, in the beginning, Hoyu Avelim Oimdin. The Avelim would stand still and not walk through the Kolaam Oivrim. And all of the people would file past, as we just said, with the Avelim on their left, and they would offer their words of comfort. So why did that minhag change? And when did it change? V'ha'yu beis mishpachos b'Yerushalayim. And there were two families in Yerushalayim, Misgarois Zubazu, who were fighting with each other. Zoisei Meres, this particular family said, I'm going to go first. Ani Veres Tchilo. Zoisei Meres? No. Ani Veres Tchilo. Quite incredible to think that there at the Levaya, or just after the Levaya, there's a whole fight who should be first in the queue to be Menachem the Oval. So because these two families had a whole machloikas, therefore they decided, said the Gemara, Hiskinu, so they were Masake, and they instituted, let's change it, Sheyehe Ha'om Oimdim. So instead of the Om, instead of the people filing past, which might therefore cause a whole machloikas, who should go first? Okay, nobody goes first, you just stand where you are. Va'aveilim Oimbrim, and it's the Aveilim who pass through. So it's quite incredible. It's quite incredible. Even at a time of a Levaya, where one would have thought one is subdued and humble. And yet over here you see that no, even there the Yetzirah manages to get in. And there's a whole raging debate at the height of a machloikas in the middle of a Levaya, which family are going to file past first. So because of that, Chazal said, okay, we're changing the minig. No family will file past first. In fact, nobody files past at all. You'll stand exactly where you are, stationary, and the Avelim will pass through. So now we understand why Rav Papa was so keen to make that observation in the previous Brisa. Rav Papa was medayek, that you see in the Brisa that originally that was not the case. So now we see, yes, that's why he pointed it out, because this was of interest, because it's not what we do nowadays. It's not what we do nowadays. That's why Rav Papa's keen to point out, you should know that what we do now is a new development. Why did it change? Well, that's what the Gemara just explained. Yeah.
Go back to yesterday when we talked about the two cases. And the second case was basically when the coin was the oval.
Yeah.
According to what it says in the Gemara, it's the latter process that was used, where basically it was the coin who actually passed through the people. Correct?
The coin,
or am I misunderstanding it?
No, the coin passed through the people when the coin himself
was when he was not.
When he was comforting others. Now is the loss of the Braisa, because when he passed through to comfort others, but that has all changed. Now nobody passes through to comfort. To the contrary, one passes through to be comforted.
This must have been a common Yetzirah in those days, because I forgot who it was, Asher Hechtias Yisrael. What's his name?
Yerobam ben Nevat.
And when Hashem says to him, you and Ben Yishai will be in, and he says, Mi Barosh.
Correct.
So it's the same exact Lashon here, so.
It's been the Yetzirah with us from day one of the Bria. That was the whole machlekes between Cain and Hevel. Who gets pole position? Who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu favor with a Karbonis, etc., etc. Quite right. Okay, says the Gemara. We're now continuing this theme. Says the Gemara, Omar Ami Ba'abo. So we're continuing this theme, this discussion about does the oval walk through or does the people walk through? So again, stage one was initially the minag was that the avelim stand where they are and everybody files past. Then, because of this machlokes, they changed it. So the avelim walk through and the menachemim stand where they are. Omar Rami Ba'abo, Hechzir. Rabbi Yossi es adavor leyoshnai betzipoiri. Says Rami Ba'abo, Rabbi Yossi restored the old minig back in Tzipoiri. There's a place, Tzipoiri, and he restored it. Hechzi, he returned it leyoshnai. What does yoshnai mean? Like yoshein, old, yoshon. He brought back the old minag, that what? Sheyu Avelim Oimdim V'chol Ha'om Oivrim. So he restored that original minik. The Avelim indeed stand where they are, and the Am walk through. So this was the great Koyach of Rabbi Yossi, who was a Tana, and he clearly was in charge in Tzipori. And he said, even though maybe there was a period in our history that because of this machloikas, the minig was altered, we're now restoring the original minig back to what it was. Says the Gemara, V'omar Rav Amar, Rav Ami Ba'Abba said something else, that Rabbi Yossi did something else as well. Hiskin Rabbi Yossi Batzipoiri, again, Rabbi Yossi, now we're changing subject, but it's connected to what we just said before, because Rabbi Yossi was now masakin, actually, something else in Tzipori as well. Number one thing he did was he restored the old minig with regard to Avelim, but he did something else as well. Hiskin Rabbi Yossi Batzipoiri, Sheloi Tehei Isha Mahaleches Bashuk, that no woman should walk in the street ubeno achareha, with her son lagging behind. Rabbi Yossi made a whole takana, very fascinating, that when a woman walks in the street with her child, she should not walk in front with a child behind her. Why? Mishum Maisa Shahoya, because of a story that occurred. What was the story? So look at Rashi. Says Rashi, ubeno achareho, she should not walk with her son behind. Beno hakotan, her young son, loy yahalech achareho, should not walk after her. Elo lefoneho, rather, the child should walk in front of her. Why? Mishum maisa shahaya, because of a story that once occurred with such tragic consequences. That's why Rabbi Yossi says we have to put a stop to this. Why? What happened? Shegonvu pritzim me'achareho, pritzim. Bandits came and they kidnapped a child from behind her. In other words, prior to this takon of Rabbi Yossi, it would have been perfectly acceptable for a woman to walk in the street with a child behind her. Well, that once happened. And pritzim, the bandits, came and they stole the child from behind her. V'nosnuhu babayis, and they put him in some home, in some house. Ukashachozra v'loi ra'asohu, then she turned around and she didn't see her child. What's going on? Where's he gone? Hischila, so she began, so ekes uboicha, so she began to scream and cry. Bo echod mehem, so one of the bandits now appears. The Omar, and he said to her, as if being very kind, boi kam va'arenu leich, and I'll show you where your child is. Oh, thank you so much. She's so grateful to him. Such a gallant, noble person is going to show her where her child is. Where was he? Like we said, in some house that they dumped him. V'nichnasa acharov. So she entered the house with this bandit, the inu oisa, and he abused her, raped her. So because of that story, which all began because the child was not under the supervision of the mother, the child was behind the mother, he was taken, and that ended in tragic circumstances. So that's why Rabbi Yossi made a takana, that should never happen. When you walk in the street with your child, the child should be under your supervision the whole time, i.e. the child should be walking in front of you, not behind you. Back into the Gemara, now another takana, third and final takana that Rabbi Yossi made. Says the Gemara, the Omar Rami Ba'Amar, Hiskin Rabbi Yossi Betzipoiri. Rabbi Yossi made another takana in Tzipoiri. Now, by way of introduction, we need to know, and this is very hard for us to imagine, because Baruch Hashem, nowadays and age, our hygiene is much better than it was in the times of Chazal. But we know that in the times of Chazal, no home had its own personal Beis HaKiseh. They didn't have a bathroom. What was the bathroom? The bathroom was in some sort of field. Those of you who are with us for brachos will remember this well, because there's all types of halachic shailas there, with tzoya and an unpleasant odor, and can you bring tefillin in, and can you bring sfarim in, and can you say brachos, etc., etc., etc. Where was this Beis HaKiseh? Obviously, it was not in the person's private home, and neither was it close. Nobody wants a Beis HaKiseh near one's home because of the unpleasant odor, and therefore it was in some secluded place in the field, and that was, as it were, the public Beis HaKiseh. So, what was Rabbi Yossi's takana? Says the Gemara. Oh, Rabbi Yami ba'amahiskin, Rabbi Yossi betzipoiri, sheyu noshim mesapreis b'beis hakiseh. Literally translated, Rabbi Yosef, correct me if I'm wrong, he was mesaken that the women should talk to each other even whilst they're there in the Beis HaKiseh. Like we said, it was a public Beis HaKiseh. It's very hard for us in nowadays age and hygiene and privacy, etc., etc., to imagine this, but it's literally like a public Beis HaKiseh. So Rabbi Yossi was mesaken that if there are women there, they should talk to each other. Why should they talk to each other? Says the Gemara, two words, Mishum Yichud, because of halachic issues of Yichud. What does that mean? So look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Mesapreis.
Zuim Zu.
Zuim Zu. They should be talking one to another. Why? Mishum Yichud. Shemo Yeleich Odom Shom. Because maybe otherwise a person will go there. Meaning, a person needs to go to the Beis HaKiseh. If he doesn't hear any voices, then he has no way of knowing there's actually some women inside this Beis HaKiseh. So he'll enter. What will happen then? Ve'im lo yishma koel odom. And if he does not hear the voice of a human being, yikones, he will enter. So all of a sudden, you're going to have a situation of what? Of a man entering a room in which there are two women. Ve'yisyached shom, and he will be in privacy and seclusion with these two women. The Tanan, and we have a Mishnah that says, Loi yisyached adam in beis noshim. A person is not allowed to be in a situation with two noshim. And just as an aside, even though it's not our discussion, we paskin la'alocha that a man cannot be in seclusion, not only with not two women, but not with 1,000 women either. I don't want to go into details, but I've been involved in literally horror stories where this is very negeya, where you have, for example, a boss of a company, and he's sitting in his office, and he has 10 female workers. That is absolute yichud. It's true, the Mishnah only talks about one man with two women. Rashi holds that with three, it's actually mutter, but we don't paskin like that. We paskin two women, 1,000 women, it's all awesome. I'm not saying there are no cases where there'd be mutter, if one of their husbands are in town, or people can walk in. This is not a shin now in Hilchas Yichud. But Chazal knew exactly what they were talking about, and unfortunately, these circumstances have borne out the concerns of Chazal. Either way, what are we concerned about now? The Rabbi Yossi was mesaken that wherever these two noshim find themselves in the Beis HaKiseh alone, they should talk to each other. Why should they talk to each other? Because that way, any oncoming man will hear the women's voices and will not enter. Whereas if he does not hear the voice, then he will enter. And if he enters, all of a sudden he finds himself in a position of yichud. Now this, by the way, is a tremendous chiddush. Why? Because, l'chayra, it would be safe to assume that if this person comes in, a man, and he sees that there's two women there, then he'll say, oh, very sorry, excuse me, and he'll step straight back out. And what Chazal say? Sorry, too late. Yichud is Yichud. And once you enter, even for a split second, then the Eitz Hara knows no bounds, and we don't even want to run into a situation for 1 second. If we don't want him to enter in the first place, but he's got no way of knowing. And Rashi adds now one more comment. Ubebeis hakisei shebesodois komairi. We're talking about in the times of Chazal where the Beis HaKisei was in the field. Shahoyo Beis HaKisei Shelohem Basode Chutz Le'ir. Why is Rashi pointing this out? Because when it's Chutz Le'ir, when it's outside of the main place where people live, so it's a secluded area, it's not a public place, even though people may use it, but it's in a far place, very, very quiet. That's why there's Yichud, says Rashi, V'hakoil nifnim shom. And everybody there used to use these facilities, and therefore there's Yichud. I must tell you, a couple of weeks ago, when my son, Meir, Baruch Hashem, is now a chosn, was on Shidduchim, and he was meeting his bride-to-be. So one evening, I get a phone call. I was quite surprised, and it was my son, Meir, calling me, and I was surprised because I was under the understanding that the shidduch was supposed to go on for a few hours. Why was he calling me after an hour or two? It was about 10 o'clock at night. But he was asking me this very question. He said, we're here in Yerushalayim, we were just sitting together in a hotel, we decided to go to a walk for a walk, and we found a very beautiful park. He said, I'm looking in the park, and it seems very empty. Are we allowed to enter the park, or is there an Issur of Yichud? It's a great question. Why is it a great question? Because some people mistakenly think that Yichud is only an issue when you're inside a building. And that's not true. It's a mafurash gemara in Kiddushin that even if you are on the derech, on a street, if it's a quiet street, again, hakoyel lefi ha'inyan, then there can absolutely be an issue of Yichud. And this is a very common shaila with a boy meeting a girl on Shidduchim, or for that matter, afterwards as well. Even if they get engaged, they're not married to each other. As we discussed early on this week, what we call engagement has no halachic status at all. Therefore, they've got no heter to do yichud. And one must point out, it's mamash a mitzvah lefarsim. The Mishnah Berurah points out, unlike at the time of Chazal, where there were women, even from the age of 11 or 12, even prior to their marriage, they used to go to the mikveh every month. For reasons of kodshim and taharis. Well, of course, none of that applies nowadays. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, and this is absolutely critical to know, that one has to assume any girl above the age of 11 or 12, one automatically assumes that she is a becheskas nido do'iraisa, which means that if you have yichud with her, even for 1 second, you're over an issa do'iraisa. People do not know this halacha, but it's a mitzvah to know. I get asked this shaila quite regularly, but I think not often enough. It's very negair, for example, with babysitters. With the babysitters, you have a 15-year-old girl. Oh, well, I'm sure it's okay because she's not married. It's not true. Firstly, even with a non-married woman, there's an issa yichud midrabbanan. But here it's worse because she's assumed to be a nidah, and if there's issa yichud, do'iraisa. One has to be very, very aware of that. Yeah, Larry.
You said that if the women don't talk, he walks into the Beis HaKisei, and it's too late. It's yichud. That's it. But what about onas rachman apatre?
Doesn't matter. It's not onas because it's not.
Why? No, he walked in. He had not. How was he supposed to know there were women there? It's not his fault. So why is he tired?
We're not worried about the avera. Where it was going to lead to.
No, but you said if he walks in, too late. It's yichud. That's it.
And therefore, we're worried he's going to stay there and be over an avera. That's the whole concern of yichud. That is the concern of yichud. Yichud is, once you find your situation for yichud, this will lead to an avera. However you got in Poinus, you got in Barotzen, you got Beshege, it's all irrelevant. Therefore, we don't want to have a situation where he walks in, suddenly finds himself in a situation of yichud, and too late. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. Bez Hashem, tomorrow, Rosh Chodesh Av, we'll continue in Mitz Hashem. Okay, be well, have a great day, everybody.